First off, I want to thank the elders for allowing me to come and preach to y'all. And I've been learning some Missouri, and that's where I got that y'all from. But I was born up in Madeira, and I've been preaching in Missouri for the last 9 years. I was here with my brother Randall a couple of years ago when he came and presented God's Word. And I'm glad, happy to be here. It's an honor to stand before you. It's always been an honor to stand before God's people who are searching for the truth. The lesson this morning is on Bible study. The Bible is the only book anywhere on the planet that has the information that we need in order to be saved. If we didn't have Bibles, we would have no knowledge of God. We'd have no knowledge of His plan. We wouldn't have any information pertaining to what we're supposed to do. A lot of times, though, people take the Bible and they open it up and they start from the beginning and they read it as a story. And that's where it gets confusing. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Because Bible study, the introduction is the Bible contains or continues to be the world's best-selling book. In countries where the sale of Bibles is banned, it is the most sought-after book. Yet in America, where Bibles are readily available and where most everyone can read the Bible, may be the most neglected book of all. People from time to time will read a page here and there and declare that the Bible is just too hard to understand. We would not think of approaching a book of history, mathematics, or science in such a way. We all realize that our understanding of such matters depends on our starting at the beginning and progressing page by page. The primary reason there is so much confusion regarding what the Bible is believed to teach is because of the lack of actual Bible study. Some just randomly open a page of the Bible and read a verse, making their own arbitrary applications. Others carelessly and without any sound discipline read the scripture with no study, with no rhyme or reason. I've talked with people that have done this. That's what God wants me to know. I've seen people do that. I've seen many people sit there and say, well, I can't understand the Bible. Or they sit in a seat or a pew and listen to the man up here present God's Word without checking. I ask that everyone pick up their Bible, follow along, make sure what I'm teaching is God's Word. If it's wrong, stop me. If I say anything that's contrary to the Word of God, unless I let you know it's a contrary statement or my opinion, I'll let you know that. But if I teach anything from God's Word that comes out against what God says, stop me. That's what we're supposed to do. Your job is to check up on me, make sure I'm doing what's right. I'm presenting God's Word correctly. My job is to present it correctly, the way God intended it. We could study the Bible for centuries and never have the full information that's there. One verse contains so much information that every time you read that verse, if you think about it, the more you read it, you start getting other things out of it. You learn more. The verse, Jesus wept, has two words. I've written a whole sermon on those two words. God's Word is powerful. It can destroy. Look at how many different religions there are today. They use God's Word. They take a verse out of context and build a religion. They'd use God's Word using this verse and that verse to say that's what this means. Or they start going outside of God's realm and then they realize, wait, we got to have a book, chapter, and verse for that. So what do? Instead of saying we're wrong, they find a book, chapter, and verse that kind of fits. I'm using that kind of. My granddaughter says that all the time. We were out there doing something one time, and I said, well, we're in an RV. Well, I said, we're at home. She goes, that's an RV. I said, well, it's not an RV. I mean, it's kind of a home, but that's her thing. Kind of. Mommy say, is this red? She say, kind of red. But that's what's happening. People are kind of studying their Bibles. They're kind of reading, but not taking into perspective what it really means. Understanding what the Bible is very important. The Bible is not one book, but rather a collection of 66 books. The Bible covers three different dispensations with three different laws. We have the patriarchal law from all non-Jews from Adam until the death of Jesus. We have the Mosaic law for all the Jews from Moses till the death of Jesus. And then we have the law of Christ for all mankind from the death of Christ till He comes again. Many times people are taking the Old Testament and they're using that as their guideline because they haven't studied. A lot of people don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe this is God's Word. This is 66 books written by different people. Well, that's true. But they were inspired by God. The author is one author of all books. His inspiration is there. And I'll be going back and forth with my glasses because I'm not blind yet, but I still have problems seeing up close. The Bible is the power of God into salvation, Romans 1:16. When I was talking earlier about how powerful it is, God's Word destroys people's lives if it's used wrong. Look at how many people believe that they're going to heaven. I've been to several funerals over the last couple of years. And they weren't members of the church. They were Baptists. One of them was my uncle. He was a Baptist. And me and Miranda went there, and we're sitting there. And she has a hold of my hand because I keep trying to get up. This guy's talking about how my uncle is now walking with Jesus in heaven. And wrong place, wrong time type of scenario. She kind of grabs my hand. But that's the thing. We need to defend God's Word. We need to study so that we can defend it. And in doing that, we need to always be prepared to answer a lot of different questions. The Bible is a tool by which we will be judged. We're going to be judged. We were talking about it in class a little bit about the end time. And we were discussing, I was talking about how it was kind of like a judicial system. We're here walking on this earth. And we have to have a guideline. This is our guideline. We're judged by this. This is what God is going to use to judge us. Did you do what I asked you? Did you follow it correctly? And there were some comments made that when we die, we're going to know whether or not we're going to heaven or hell. We're judged by our lives every day. And this book, as people call it, this book right here is what is our guideline. This is going to be opened. And this is going to be talked about, and we're going to be looking at it and say, did I do this or did I not do that? A lot of times I know people that say, well, if I don't read the Bible, it doesn't apply to me. I've heard that comment a couple of times too. We're all going to be judged by it, whether you believe in it or not. We're all going to stand in judgment. And the words in this book are what are going to be our judge. Understanding what the Bible does. The Bible holds truth. Turn over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is truth. Mankind has been trying to prove the Bible wrong since a long, long time ago. Science is trying to prove it wrong. The Bible is the only books, you know, 66 books, the only gathering of books that cannot be proven wrong. It's infallible. They try to say, well, you know, if we find alien life, then the Bible's wrong. How? Where are they getting that from? They talk about different things. They try to use the scriptures to benefit themselves. But it's truth. If you study it correctly, you get the truth. If you don't study it correctly, you're not going to get the whole truth. You're just going to get bits and pieces of it. That's what people up in Patterson and Piedmont area, there's a lot of people there that always say, well, all you got to do is believe. Belief is all you need to get to heaven. And I try to sit and study with them, and I studied with this one lady. She said, I'll study with you as long as you don't talk about baptism. I said, well, our study is over. Because baptism is very essential to your salvation. And she didn't believe it. So that Bible study was over. I told her, I said, here's some verses. Read these verses and hopefully you get back to me. Haven't heard back from her yet. But too many times people are looking for that easy escape. They're trying to find something that they don't have to do. I don't want to sit down and read. I don't want to study. Well, why don't you say, I don't want to go to heaven? Because without reading, without studying, you're not going to know how to get there. Just by listening to a preacher, you're not getting enough information. By having studies in class, yes, you get a lot of information, but home studies, understanding, making sure what you've been taught is correct. Being blindly led by someone standing behind a pulpit is wrong. Study God's Word. Make sure that that person is presenting it the right way. Because we got to defend it everywhere we're at. A lesson, I think Randy did it here on the narrow way. There's 7.4 billion people. And when it was all said and done, there was like 300,000 left. Maybe. That percentage is just we're outnumbered, guys. Probably 100,000 to 1 or more. But we need to defend God's Word. It is the truth. And the Bible saves. James says that the Bible saves. Let's turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 21. It says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow with wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your soul. This is what saves us, right here. This helps us. This is our guideline. I remember someone said that one time, that the Bible means basic instructions before leaving earth. And I feel that that fits, because these instructions will get you to where you want to go. I had someone one time, I used to make a comment, well, you know, get to heaven, you got to do some work. If you want to go to hell, don't do anything. Just live your life how you want. I said that to someone one time and they got upset. How can you say I'm going to hell? I said, if you don't do anything, if you're just sitting there not doing anything and thinking that you're going to go to heaven because you're in a building with members of a church that are teaching God's Word, you're mistaken. You need to study to make sure that that building, the members you're around, that they're part of the true church. We have brethren out there that are teaching false doctrine left and right. And we need men and women to stand up and fight back if they have to. We present God's Word so that we all can get to heaven. And Bible study is our main starting point. The Bible helps us to be approved of God. In 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. That's the problem, people. Everybody's not rightly dividing the Word of God. They're putting their opinions, their ideas in the place of what God has said. When God says it, that's it. Don't argue. Do it. We see that in the Old Testament. Things happen when God spoke. People would question Him. Or they would do things that weren't what God said to do. We see Nadab and Abihu. These two gentlemen. God never told them they couldn't use that fire they used, but when God specifically said, here's what I want you to use, it eliminates everything else. And so when we present ourselves to God and we come together and worship, are we doing what God has said? Or have we studied enough to understand this is what God wants us to do? And every aspect of our life is covered in that book. The spiritual side is taught how to grow. It's taught how to get to heaven. The Bible helps us to dispute false doctrine. We've talked about that before. Without knowing the Bible, you cannot defend against false doctrine. A lot of times, people, I'm pretty sure a lot of members, a lot of preachers call it running rabbits. When you're talking to someone and you're trying to show them, here's what God said, and then they're over here. So, let's go back. Let's finish what we were talking about before we jump over here. But they opened this can of worms, and like chasing rabbits, you can't catch them all. They don't want to study. They want to be ignorant. They want everyone else around them to be ignorant. God's Word is very complex, but it's also simple. When it's all laid out, if it's laid out correctly, and you understand, as we talked about, there's three different dispensations. There's the patriarchal law, there's the Mosaic law, and then there's Christian law. A lot of times people are getting those mixed together. They're trying to mesh them up. Remember Jesus said you cannot put new wine in old skins because it would break? It's the same thing. Old Testament, New Testament do not match up. It matches up when you see the plan, but if you're trying to sacrifice animals and live a spiritual life at the same time, that's not going to work. Then a lot of people say, well, the ceremonial part was nailed to the cross. All the sacrifices and everything. These are the same people that say Jesus never came to this earth. They'll use it when it benefits them. That's why we need to study and understand how it works. Understanding how to study. First, you open up your Bible. 2 Timothy talks about 2 Timothy 2:15. Studying to show yourself approved. My studying is not going to benefit you in any way, shape, or form unless I present it the way I studied it. You don't study, you're not going to get anything from it. I can stand up here and tell you how to study, but if you never open your Bible. I got several family members who have big old white Bibles on this little, nice little pretty place in their house. My grandma Farmer used to have one. She was a Pentecost. That Bible had never been opened. And you were never, ever supposed to touch it. But she was one of the most faithful Pentecost people there were. She'd study with my mom and my dad, and they would talk to her about the truth, and she would believe it. She'd say, yeah, I agree with you, but I'm not going to change. She enjoyed the place she was at. And I remember seeing her, last I saw her was Randy and I were here. She had Alzheimer's. And it's the shell of my grandmother, but the person inside was gone. There was no way to teach her from that point. And it's a sad, sad state. A lot of times people forget Bible study is important for me. It's also important for you. I'm not used to microphones. Sorry about that. Got high technology out here in California. The Bible must be studied with perseverance. Don't just read it and think you know what it says. We were in class, and that was a wonderful class. But it talks about when Paul's speaking about a man, whether in the body, out of the body, there's a lot of questions there. If you didn't study that, you would think, well, he's talking about some guy having an out-of-body experience, you know. He was just having out-of-body experience, having visions. But if you study it, it kind of comes together. There's a lot of answers, unanswered things there. But we can come to a conclusion that we can understand what he's talking about is real. It wasn't something made up. The history of the Bible, you read through Artaxerxes. You go back to Nebuchadnezzar. You go back to these men who are named as kings of Persia, Greece. You know, all these different. And you look in regular secular history and you see them. You look in secular history, you'll see a man named Jesus or Yeshua who the Romans hung on a cross and tortured. You'll see validation of what the scriptures say. But when you try to tell someone, here's what God says, oh, that's just a fairy tale. There's so much evidence to prove that the Bible is correct and truth. But people fight it all the time. The Bible must be approached with the right attitude. If you're trying to prove somebody wrong, and you're going to the Bible to prove them wrong, is that the right attitude to have? Or should your attitude be this? Let the Bible prove them wrong. When I have a Bible study with somebody, I don't sit there and give them my opinion. I give them Scripture. Here, read this Scripture. What does it say to you? I don't read it to them. I hand them my Bible. I say, read right there. I let them read it out loud to themselves or to themselves. I say, now what does that say to you? Because if I read it to them, you would get this. Well, that's your interpretation of it. I'm not the one who read it. You read it. So what is your interpretation? And if you keep it in context, if you keep the Bible in context, it just flows perfectly. When I first started preaching, I always had a question. Like I said, I was not always been a good person. I've only been preaching for 9 years. Before that, I was out in the world doing everything against what God said. I was not a good person. But when I started studying God's Word, I was baptized when I was a kid. I always liked the Bible, but I never held to it. Because my family, we really didn't study. We'd read. Every day you read. Every day. But we never studied. All the way up until about 4 years ago, I thought Lucifer was the devil. Because I never studied it. I took what everybody else said. I was driving, because we were going to, me and several other preachers, one of the brethren down in Jonesboro was doing like YouTube, filming us, we'd preach, and then he was putting it on YouTube. And I was driving back home listening to one of the tapes, and the man on there was talking about, well, how many out there think Lucifer's the devil? And I'm thinking, oh yeah. Because what would you think if I thought I told you you were wrong? I'm on 60 highway heading back to Poplar Bluff, getting ready to turn up. I'm livid. I pull my car over. I'm sitting on the side of the highway. I'm going to prove this guy wrong. Lord humbled me that day. I got back in my car. Next Sunday, I got up in front of the members of the church and I told them I've lied to all of you. I've been preaching false doctrine because I've mentioned Lucifer every once in a while. And I said, I went to Isaiah. We went through it. Lucifer was not Satan. He was the king of Babylon. And for many years, up until I'm in my 50s. So for 50 years, I believe that. That's how easy it is if you don't study to be misled. Like whenever you study about Paul's on his way to Damascus, and he first sees Christ, in one part it says he sees a light. And he sees nobody and he hears something. And then you read his recant of it later on. It says he heard a voice, but then he didn't see anything. So is there a contradiction there? No. If you didn't study it, you would think there was. And I did. I thought there was. But it's just saying it's a different perspective. He saw a bright light. He heard a voice. Well, he didn't understand the voice at first. Bright light was blinding. But if you put it into context, you study it, you rightly divide it with the proper attitude, you can understand the Bible a lot easier. The Bible student must be good, must use good study aids. Now in class, Brother Jerry was talking about different commentators. Or using Greek words. I use the Vines. I use Strong's. I mean, I use different things to help me. I have three different sets of commentaries that I use. I don't take the commentaries as face value. That's another man's opinion. Same as with me. I have an opinion. But I look at it and I see, okay, I don't understand this word here. And then you can go back to the Greek and you can find the original Greek text or Hebrew. And you can get it translated by these different men, and you have to take it upon yourself to make sure that their translation fits into what it's actually saying. Because the word love, I use this analogy. Remember Jesus asking Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? He wasn't asking him, do you love me, three times. There's two different words there. There's different levels of love. But in English, we only have one word for love. In Greek, there were several different types of love. It's kind of like hell. The word hell is used a lot in the Bible. Hell's actually used three or four different ways. I don't want to get into that because that's on my lesson in a few days. But when you study God's Word, you need to make sure everything's rightly divided. Don't try to push Abraham into with Stephen over here in Acts. I was in preacher training for a couple years with Randy, and we went down to Illinois. And they actually had a letter of a sermon that a preacher preached. And, this is what I can remember of it. It said, Noah come up on the bow of the ark and saw Jesus walking across the water and went over and was talking to Moses. This was part of the lesson. And he had verses in there. None of the verses matched. He preached that lesson. After he was done, said amen to the prayer, walking out. Everybody, great lesson, preacher. Great lesson. Wonderful lesson. So that night, he got up, preached the same exact lesson. nothing to do with real actual facts, taking bits and pieces. Got ready to leave. Everybody, great lesson, great lesson. This is a true story, as far as I know. This came from another preacher. I'm hoping he's not lying to me. But he said next Sunday he got up there and he asked everybody, what did I preach about last week? And the only thing they could answer was, something in the Bible. He stopped preaching there. He moved to another place. He said he needed to find someone who could go in there and start from the beginning to teach these people. So they weren't listening, they weren't doing anything, they were stagnant. But just in my mind, not one person even taught. Even if you don't have your Bible in front of you, when you hear Moses and Jesus together, or Noah and Jesus together, there should be a red flag coming up somewhere. That shows that Bible study is very important. To make sure what's being taught to you is correct. If it's wrong, you approach that person or approach the elders and say, hey, I don't understand why this is being taught. I'm pretty sure that these two men over here take care of that. They know the Bible pretty good. So I'm pretty sure they're watching for all that. But still, ourselves, we need to learn. We need to study. We need to grow spiritually. Exhaustive Bible concordance like the Vines of Strong, Thayer's, Bible dictionaries, they have Smith, Davis, these are just some of them. And the Bible, when possible, should you be used to interpret itself. That's the best interpretation of the Bible, is using itself. When you try to say, well, I can figure it out. No, you can't. The Bible is God's mind. And as it says in there, His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts higher than ours. And I actually heard it put this way one time. God dumbed it down for us. Because if we can't understand just this little bit of information here, this is just a tiny bit of information from God's mind. And the world can't even agree on what it says. They can't agree on one thing. How are they going to expect to know God's mind if you can't agree on what He's already given us? The battles we fought through the years, some of the older gentlemen here have been through the 50s and 60s. I remember hearing stories about it. I was still a little kid. I was actually born in 64, so a little bit after all that. But I remember hearing the big arguments and fights. My grandparents were on one side, my other grandparents were on the other. Over little things. Eating in the building. Orphans' homes. Why not sit down and study God's Word and come let God sort it out? But people argue, people fight. And there's always somebody out there who's going to have a difference of opinion. As long as we have the same Bible guidelines, our opinions can vary in some areas. I use these little tin plates up here. Those are silver. You know, there was a congregation one time split because those weren't gold. Seriously, that's what happened. Instead of sitting down and saying, hey, let's find a scripture about this. Or the brethren saying, it doesn't matter what color it is. They divided the church over what color the communion trays are going to be. In the Bible, I don't see any where that would be part of salvation, whether or not they're gold. But you have people argue about this stuff. Why? They don't study the Bible. Because the Bible would have told us, well, we're going to have to agree on a color. What color do you want? I don't care. You whatever color you want. It doesn't matter to me. The carpet in here. We don't argue about the carpet? Divide over the carpet? They do. Congregations dividing over little things like that. It's just sad. When used to, if they divided, it was because somebody came in with a different doctrine. Not a different doctrine, as Paul would say. Not another gospel. But they add to it, or they take away from it. Too many preachers, they stopped preaching truth and started bowing down to the mankind's pressure. It's too much pressure. I don't want to argue with politicians. Oh, I could get arrested if I say that. You know what? The Bible speaks for itself. If God tells me to preach against babies being murdered, against homosexuality, against whatever, I will preach against it. They're going to arrest me, put me in jail? Just guys bring me some snacks or something. I'll be in there preaching to the guys that are in there. But I'm not going to stop preaching truths because mankind says it's wrong. Well, that's okay to do this. No, God says it's wrong. Who are we or any man to say he's not? Or he's not the right person to listen to. In conclusion, we see that the gospel is the power of God into salvation. A study of God's word will bring God's approval. The truth can make us free. Christians grow and are sustained by the word. We're going to go back to that little 2-year-old back there. I always like to use my grandbaby for an analogy. If my daughter stopped feeding her, she wouldn't last very much longer. If my daughter just fed her one cookie a day, she would just slowly get weaker and weaker and weaker. When you're baptized and you come up out of that water, you're a new creature. Your spirit had just been born. That's a baby. Your spirit needs to be fed and nurtured and trained and taught. And the only way to do that is with God's word. Because if you allow mankind to train and nurture your spirit, guess what? We already have enough different religions out there. We don't need any more. But we need to grow. We need to study. So your spirit can grow. And as it grows, keep it in check. Because there are some people, when they start studying, they get their head so big that no one can tell them what the Bible says or not. I know a couple of guys who think they're the best preachers in the world. I mean, they're not members of the church. I mean, but they think they're the best preachers in the world because they've read so much of the Bible, read so many books. But you ask them about salvation. Oh, I don't deal with that. I know about the Bible though. You know about the Bible, but you don't know about salvation. Apparently, your reading is different than studying. Mature Christians continue to be built up by the Word, and as Christians continue in the Word, they steadfastly look forward to the inheritance that is in Jesus Christ Jesus. We study so we can get to heaven. We study so we can defend God's Word. We study. Not so we can be, oh, we're going to heaven and you're not. We study so that we can be there to help others. And we can shoot down false teachers. And we can be ready when the Lord comes back. He says, what have you done? You can say, I followed this. This is what we're supposed to follow. Not man, not a woman. The Bible has all the power to save. The Bible teaches us that God had a plan. And we have to be part of that plan. A lot of times there's people tell you, oh, you ain't got to do nothing. Oh, you just believe. Well, belief is actually a work if you think about it. But God tells us that we need to hear His word. We need to believe it. We need to be willing to repent, change our ways. Stop doing what's wrong. Do what's right. And we need to confess that Jesus Christ is, not was, not will be, is the Son of God before mankind. And be baptized. At baptism is where the figurative blood of Christ washes away our sins. And then when you rise up, that's when you're a newborn babe, a new creature. God adds you to the church. Many times, I mean, we've dropped the ball. We baptize someone and we forget to tell them or teach them. There's a lot of people out there who've been baptized and because no one taught them, they went somewhere else. There was a contest, I'm going to say about 4 years ago. Wasn't members of the church, they're members of a church, but not the church. They were having a contest of seeing how many people they could baptize in a year. Why would you have a contest? You baptize somebody, are you wanting to be the one? Oh, look at me. I baptized someone. The Bible tells us we're to plant seed and water it. That's our obligation, to plant and water. The planting part is where they become a new Christian. The watering comes to teach. Because a lot of times someone will come up here and say, I want to be baptized. Okay, let's go baptize them. I'm pretty sure the elders here would ask him, well, do you understand why you're being baptized? They would take him aside and talk to him. Or at least ask, well, do you understand why? But someone asked me sometime, well, you wouldn't baptize somebody you just met? I said, I wouldn't baptize anybody unless I talk to them. I want to make sure they understand. I don't want to be, oh, well, you're not going to baptize me. You're going against God. That's not what I want. What I want is this, you to understand that when you're baptized, there's a purpose behind it. You're not just getting wet. But we can study the Bible all day long. If we don't apply it to our lives and we don't live it or remain faithful, that's going to be our downfall. There is no such thing as once saved, always saved. We can fall from grace. The Bible teaches us God has a plan. You want to be part of that plan? You come forward, be baptized, God can add you to the church, live a faithful life, and you can go to heaven. If you are a member of the church and you've made mistakes, guess what? We all have. We're human. Bow yourself, humble yourself to God. Ask for forgiveness. The members here will pray for you. If there's anything we can do for you, please come forward as together we stand and sing.